Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
As we open your word today, allow us, Lord, just to see another glimpse of you, just another light, another presence, Lord, another power. God, take us, Lord, and use us in a way that only you can. Wash us, anoint us, Father, I pray, so that every single person here would have had an encounter with you today. In the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I am so blessed to be here. So blessed to just know I'm a child of God. How about you? I am. I tell you, it's. I don't take it for granted. I've been doing this pastoring for a while now. Half my life. I've been doing this, and I've been a Christian for pretty much all my life, but I'm not taking God for granted. I'm not just doing this out of just doing it. I'm not in a rut. I'm not in a routine. This is not mundane to me. This is real. Amen. I serve a real God. He reveals himself to me. When I open the Word of God and I read it, it's more than just reading religious writings. I come in touch with the God of this universe through this book. It's you know, other people will call it magic, but it's divine magic. It's powerful magic. It's magic through Jesus Christ. And if you have not opened this book during this week, if you have not opened your Bible and spent time in meditating on God and spent time and just being exposed to God's way, I want to encourage you to do that. Don't let anything else become more important to you than the Word of God. Amen. Sometimes we've got to shut the telephone off. Sometimes we've got to shut the computer off. Sometimes we got to shut the TV off. Sometimes we just got to just put away those things that take our time. A lot of times we say, I don't have enough time. My. Suppose God was to answer that prayer of yours of not having enough time. Suppose he was to say, okay, I'll make it where you don't have time. What are we going to do then? We are so blessed to know God and to have God. Amen. Praise be to God. When I read texts like Matthew 25, if you would turn to with me there. In Matthew 25, it's one of those chapters where Jesus Christ is given parables. And he gives a series of parables and talks regarding the last days. And in chapter 24, for instance, he talks about the parable of the fig tree. There's the parable of the unfaithful servant. And in Matthew 25, there's the parable of the 10 virgins. And then there's the parable of the talents. These are parables that talk about the time of the end. Talks about not so much the world or the people of the world. It talks about the people of God, the Christians, the people who say they belong to God, the people in the church. Is everybody with me? That's what these parables are about. And if you want to be a person who hears God and makes sure that you are getting the message that God is trying to deliver, not so much trying to deliver, what God is delivering in these last days, read these parables. Read them and ask yourself, where do I fit in? Which character in these parables describe me? Amen? Because in these stories, we have to almost put ourselves in everybody's place. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen? I know we always like to make sure, you know, we're the good ones. You know, we don't want to look at ourselves and see, well, I'm, you know, what it's like to be a foolish virgin. But sometimes you got to put yourself in that person's shoes. Amen? Realizing that there are times we are not all that we should be. There are times when we miss the mark. There are times when God is working to get our attention, and it takes days, sometimes weeks and months before God can really get our attention. So we got to put ourselves even in the characters that are not so appealing in these parables. And there's the parable of the sheep and the goat. And in verse 31, what the Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in all his glory, and all the holy angels with him, okay, then shall he sit upon his throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides sheep from the goats. Do you see that there? Now, this is not the church people divided from the non-church people. These are the church people who are being divided. Some God calls sheep, others he calls goats. Are you with me? In the same way that in the parable of the 10 virgins, all right, it's not talking about the good people and evil people, church people and non-church people. This parable of the 10 virgins is talking about church people, every single one of them. And God says half of them are wise, half of them are foolish. Amen. And so going back to the parable of the sheep and the goats, it's there, and God is dividing us. Somebody say us. Now I don't know about you. I don't want anybody in this congregation to end up being a goat on the last day. Hello. I don't have any enemies here. I'm just waiting for one amen. I even chuckled my wife. I'll buy an amen for that one. Let me say it again. I said, I don't have any enemies here. I don't have any enemies. If I did, I wouldn't want them to be a goat. Wouldn't want them. Do you know what it means to be a goat on the last day in this parable? It is somebody who have dedicated their lives to the church. Members of the church, active in the church, working in the church, and doing all this and end up being lost. I don't know about you, I don't want that. Verse 33 says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, you are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from when? From the foundation. Meaning God is saying that I've been working at this thing from the very inception of sin. Even before sin came into this world, I've been working on a plan that if anything goes wrong, I have a rescue plan. Somebody say a rescue plan. A rescue plan to go into operation to redeem my people. Amen? Hallelujah. And then it says in verse 35, he gives the reason why he says, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. He gives a reason. Verse 35, what is the reason? The reason is, it says, you know, I was hungry. And then In verse 37, the answer will come from one of the sheep, or they will probably ask altogether. They will say, "Lord, when did we see you ever hungry?" And what is God's answer? In verse 40, he says, and answers, he says unto them, I say to you, verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. Every single person, that hungry person that we feed, every thirsty person that we give a drink, every stranger that we take in, every naked person that we clothe, every sick person that we visit, and every person who's in prison that we go to, God says, I was that person. And when you went to them and ministered to them, you ministered to me. Amen? And I've gotten to the place right now, church, that I'm living my life. I'm living my life as one. Everything I do, even the love that I extend to my family, I'm giving that love to Jesus. Amen? I mean, I don't know, it's popped into my head. This morning, I called my wife by her full name. I called her by her full name. She didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't mad at her or nothing. But I did that, and I said, "Honey, I love you." My love for her, this is what I'm getting at. My love for her is first directed to God. Because this marriage that we have been enjoying for the last 24 years is God's. It is God's, and he has entrusted it to us. And that's how I'm looking at life. Our children, our friends, our neighbors, they're God's. And that's how I relate to them. Amen? But God says, when you've done it unto them, you're doing it to me. So if I withhold anything from them, I'm withholding it from God. Is anybody in the same boat as I am? Anybody with me on this? Amen? Do you look at your life like that? Do you look at your spouse, your children? Do you look at your parents like that? Do you look at your co-workers, your former co-workers? Do you look at your neighbors like that? This is God's. Somebody say, this is God's. It's not mine. It's not yours. Amen. And if we walk through life, go through life, treating things, treating people as if this is God's, it's not mine. You know, beloved, a lot of the trouble that we get ourselves into, we wouldn't get ourselves into because we won't even be on the road where that trouble exists. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if anybody got that one. So I don't want to be one because, you know, so he talks to the sheep and he explains to them, everything you have done, you are doing it to me. Now that is a solemn thought. Because I can look back and I says, wow, God, I could have done it better. Sometimes we can get so caught up into absorbed with ourselves that we let life revolve around self. And we try to measure everybody else by our standards, by who we are. And so the folk who do what we do, they're good. The folk who don't do what we do, they're bad. And the folk who do what the good that we don't do, we just ignore them. Can you look back in your own life and see, wow, I could have done it better. I could have done it better. I love the song, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Because Jesus not only redeemed us 2,000 years ago, every single part of our lives is a redeeming moment. Amen? Is a forgiven moment. Is a God says, my grace has covered you. You may have goofed and made a blunder and made a mistake, and you may have missed a mark in the past on how you treated people. But somebody say redeemed. Redeemed means if I stray away, he's still there to bring me back. Amen. So I can look back on my past failures, and I have two choices. I can hold my head down in shame. All right, and say, oh, I'm a nobody. I'm no good. I'm stupid. I'm just rotten. I'm just and just make a pity party all by myself. Or I have a second choice. I can look back at my past failures. I can look back on the times I made a mistake. I didn't do what I should do. I could have done things better. And I can look and say, God, thank you for your grace. I'm going to use those past failures as fertilizers for what I'm going to do now and what I'm going to do in the future. Oh, somebody didn't hear what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to take your past mistakes. Sometimes, you know, some of you, your grandparents, you know, you're wiser now. If you had to do all over again, you would raise your children differently. Amen. I was talking with a grandparent this week, and they cried to me when they reflected on some of the things that they did to their children. He said, I try to do the best I can. I was just mirroring what my dad did to me. And so what God says, no, I've redeemed you. You can look back at that. You're not going to hold your head down. You're going to hold your head up. And you say, you know what? I'm going to use those past failures like a farmer uses fertilizer to fertilize the crops, because God is bringing a harvest. He's bringing an abundance to me that I am going to be blessed with. Failures and mistakes like fertilizer. Stinks. It's not a nice experience. Amen. You ever been next door to somebody who's using fertilizer on the grass? You ever drive through 99 or Highway 5 and they just put some fertilizer down? I tell you, wind up the windows. You put that recirculated air button on. Amen? But fertilizer is unnecessary. Isn't that right? And mistakes in this life are necessary. Why? Because we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And so the difference between the person who holds their head down and the person who holds their head up is the person who holds their head up says, you know what? I am not a failure. I may have committed a failure, but I am not a failure. Is there a difference between the two? Come on now, is there a difference between the two? Amen? And so God, it's he, you know, I need to treat people like it's Jesus himself. Yes. Amen? Can you hold your finger here and not lose it, because I'm going to go right back to it. Can you do that? And turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Don't lose your place in Matthew. We're going right back there. But I want to elaborate and bring another scripture on the whole thought about when we do things and when we relate to people, we're relating to God. Amen? Praise be to God. Colossians 3, and verse 23. It says here, everybody got it? Colossians in the New Testament. Just keep on going. You'll see it there. Chapter 3. What verse? 23 and 24. It says, whatsoever you do. Turn to your neighbor and say, whatsoever you do. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men or women. Amen. Do we get the meaning of this text? Everybody got it? What does it really mean? Whatever we do, this is not just ministry. This is not just church stuff. Amen? That person at the checkout stand may have not treated you as kindly as the person ahead of you. Hello. Or that, you know, you may be in the post office and you know, guy is giving you a hard time. Whatever you do, it says, do it how? What does that mean? It means do it with all your heart. Wow. As to the Lord. My goodness. Do you realize that if Christians practice this, that even the divorce rate among Christians will not be just like it is in the world? We wouldn't have people abusing, Christians abusing children. We wouldn't have that, because they would do it as unto who? As unto the Lord. And not to men. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord, somebody say of the Lord. Or maybe you can say from the Lord. You shall receive the reward of the inheritance. I don't know about you. I've not gotten an inheritance. My parents are still living, and God bless them when they finally are laid to rest. I'm not looking for anything that they have as an inheritance, because they don't have much. But God says, I have an inheritance that comes from glory. The person who literally made the entire universe has an inheritance for me. Amen? So I am treating you, I'm treating my family, I'm treating my neighbors, my co-workers, my colleagues, my fellow brothers and sisters, I'm treating them as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Meaning that I'm not going to give you what you give me. Even if you give me something good, I'm not just going to return it just because you do it. You know, I'm going to respond to you as unto the Lord. There are some people who, when they give you gifts, you're not supposed to give them anything back. Because God may have a different response. And to make it as unto the Lord, I've got to be one who's in tune. Somebody say in tune. I've got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then it says here, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so let's go back to Matthew 25. The whole thing there, because in the same way that God addresses the sheep, he also addresses the goats. Amen. In verse 41, he says unto them on the left hand, the left side, he says, get away from me. Wow. You cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Wow. That's a mouthful right there. And in verse 42, I was hungry. You didn't give me any food. I was thirsty. You didn't give me any drink. I was a stranger. You did not take me in. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was sick, you didn't, and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they'll ask the same question. Where did we see you with all those things? Verse 45, and he says, he shall answer them saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not, or that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Amen? So we've got to be so careful that we don't get so comfortable that we're in the right church. Amen? In the same way that when Jesus Christ came, he came to the right religious body at that time, didn't he? He came to and was born into the Jewish religion, into the Jewish nation. That was the correct religious body. That was God's ordained group representing him on earth. Amen? That was his foremost group. Not that God does not work through any other group, but that was his chief representative on earth. But in the same way that God literally had to reject the Jewish nation as a chief group that he uses to represent him, he can also reject this church. Amen. We've talked about why we exist as a church, haven't we? We've talked about why God had to literally raise up a church. Very different from other churches that got started back in the 1600s and the 1700s and the 1800s. This church did not get started because somebody got upset with a pastor and wanted to start their own church. This church did not get started because somebody had a theological disagreement with another person and said, you know what, I'm just going to go and start my own church. This church got started because a group of believers just started praying and studying together. And they eventually heard that, well, so-and-so is studying the same thing, and so-and-so over there is studying the same thing. And very soon they stopped meeting together and realizing that there are so many things in the Bible that have been a book that many try to silence that we are not doing, that God has written that reflects his will and that reflects what he wants us to do. And they just started studying and studying and studying, and the group got larger and larger and larger. And this happened in the late 1840s and in the 1850s, and they were just meeting, functioning, and the group got larger and larger and larger. They were not an organized group. They were just a people that were meeting and studying and just having a good time in the Lord. And then they realized, you know what, we need to get organized. And someone says, no, we don't need to get organized. We don't need to be like these other religions and everything else, because Jesus is coming soon, and we just need to be continuing as we are and wait for the coming of Christ. Well, I'm so glad they got organized. How about you? Come on now. Are you happy about your church? Glory to God. I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church when I was 13 years old. I did. And I pretty much that was my family church. So it's pretty much that's what I did. But when I became an adult, when I was able to think for myself, I had to reflect. I had to stand back and check out this church for myself. Because when I began to read the Bible and began to read texts like Matthew 25, I says, whoa, my mom can't answer for me. My dad can't answer for me. And I joined this church initially because of them. So I had to check it out for myself. Brother Robert, I checked this church out. I looked at it from the top, from the bottom, from the left, from the right. I looked at what we teach, what we believe. And I went back and I said, you know what, I'm just going to use this book and this book only. And if I find that this church is not going in the direction that this book goes in, if I find that this church is doing anything and believes anything that this book does not teach, then I'm not going to be a part of this church. I remember, if I may, Brother Thomas, when you got to a place in your life where you just stopped going to church. He started reading this book and it's like all the churches that he was a part of, he realized they ain't doing what God says we ought to do. And he just stopped going to church. And he says, you know what? Even if I have to not go to church and not be a part of a church that's teaching wrong and falsehood, even if it means not me being a part of church, that's the way I'm going to be, because I want to follow God. But praise God, he was able to find a church that keep all of God's Ten Commandments. Come on and say amen. Praise be to God. And many of you have similar stories, similar examples to that. And all we're saying, saints, is that we as a church, we exist for a reason. God wasn't just running out of churches while he started another one. He did not want to start this church. Are you listening to me, saints? He didn't want to have to start another church. He tried to get the existing churches to follow what's in his word. He tried to get the pastors of these churches and the bishops and those who were the superintendents and those who were the conference presidents and those who were in charge of the body of that religious group at the time. He tried to, through different ways, he sent messages to them. He will let them see things and let them open their Bible to certain pages in the Bible and let them see certain things that they were not doing. But they did not follow him. They were just following the person that brought them in. Oh, that's dangerous. That is so dangerous, because God is not going to save us based on what denomination we're in. I remember one time, you know, I was actually in school, and I worked as an associate evangelist in my senior year with a pastor, and we baptized about 25 individuals, and that may not seem a lot to you, but in that particular church, they had not seen probably a baptism over three people. For decades, three people per year. I mean, ministers after ministers went there and did evangelistic meetings, and they would just come out almost empty. And we labored, and I praise God. I worked hard that summer, and I gave many Bible studies, dozens, and 12 individuals that I worked with, we baptized them in that meeting. I was able to be in the pool with them. I remember this one lady. Who came to every single evangelistic meetings, and it was a month. It was 4 weeks that we met. 4 weeks. She came to every single meeting. She was convicted about the truths of God that she was not following. I mean, she was so convicted, and she was even happy and joyful, and we just knew that she was going to be one of those that got baptized. And so when it came down to preparing folk for baptism, we went to her and we were just happy. And she was like, oh, no, I'm not getting baptized. And we almost in disbelief, myself and the Bible worker, we looked at her and says, what do you mean? And her answer was, I was born a Baptist and I'm going to die a Baptist. I says, my goodness. I says that, you know, I didn't have the answer back then, but God is not going to save us based on the denomination we're in. He's going to save us based on the revelation of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Don't hide behind anybody's church. You better follow, thus saith the Lord. Amen. And so this church, I tell you, when God had to, if these groups of people began meeting in the late 1840s, and it wasn't until the early 1860s that they were organized as a denomination, and they only did it because legally to buy land and to own property and to transact business, you had to be a legal organization with the state. That's the only reason why they did it. And so if they waited that long, how many years is that? Let's say from 45, that's 15 plus 3 is what? 18. 18 years that God waited for another denomination. After he got this group stirred up, after he got this group excited, after this group started meeting and they try to go to their own pastor and says, "Pastor, we're not following the word of God. This is the word of God. We're not doing it. Why?" And they were just rejected. They were put out churches. And they just began meeting. And for 18 years, God waited for some denomination to embrace all of God's Ten Commandments. And not a one will follow him. And that's when God had to literally put this church into being. So that his divine will not be lost. Amen? So that the lies that the devil has unfolded, and so that the deceptions that he made and the mockery he made of God's word and God's system of worship, it will be unmasked, it will be revealed and uncovered. And that's why this church has been put into existence. We're not here just to come and to sit down and just enjoy another service. We're here to carry out the legacy. Amen? The leaders of our church, the ones who are over divisions, they're over like countries and so forth, they met just this last week. And these are the union presidents, division presidents, and the secretaries, and the vice presidents of General Conference, all these different people, they met just this past week. And one of the things they said back in the late 1880s. What date did I say? Late 1880s. They read somewhere where the leaders of the church then rejected the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the messenger that God has gave to this church, she wrote to the leaders of the church and says, "You did not humble yourself before God. And you resisted and rejected the infilling of the Holy Spirit." And the General Conference president challenged all the leaders there. We call it annual council. All the leaders get together from around the world and challenge them and says, "We're not going to make the same mistake twice. That God is waiting to pour out his spirit upon his church." And what is God ready to do today? This week, I don't know about you, did anybody miss the great rescue effort of those miners from Chile? Anybody miss that? All right, and I want let's turn the lights off a little bit, because this is a lesson for us. Because I'm told that the government of Chile, he spent about $1 million per person. That's $33 million it costs for the rescue effort of these miners. Amen. Let's just keep the pictures rolling and let's keep it rolling. Let's keep it rolling and the different things that they will concoct, and they had to research this so that they would not cause danger to these men down there. For 17 days. They call it 17 days of hell. They were buried half a mile deep down into the earth. Half a mile. For 17 days, had no contact with anybody. They had to endure a sweltering heat. They had to endure experiencing extreme hunger. They said every person was rationed just like a tablespoon of tuna a day. And just a little bit of water. And it wasn't any filtered water. It was water mixed with a lot of mine dust. and oil from the minery that they had to drink just to survive. Many miners says that it's like they felt their insides being eaten out. Some of them feared that if any one of them died, the others will eat them just to survive. One person, a 23-year-old man, he thought he would never see his newborn, his firstborn baby that was soon to be born. Had no contact whatsoever. Many of them will cry themselves to sleep. Grown men, every single night. At the first go, there were people fighting against each other, disagreeing on what they should do. Some of them felt, you know what, we need to try to find our way out. Others says, you know where you are? You are over 2,000 feet under the surface off the earth. And no way you're going to crawl out of there. And so they were able to divide them into separate camps and keep them there until, praise God, one of those drill bits was able to get through to them. Amen? But it still took them how long? Huh? It still took them an additional over a month to actually go in there and rescued them, because they wanted to be so careful that they did not cause any further collapse. I read where over 700,000 tons of rocks buried them. And I looked at that and I said to myself, wow, we are in the same business like the rescue workers for the miners there in Chile who were buried for over 2 months. Aren't we? Aren't we in the same business of rescuing people? On the streets that we drove on to get to church, our own neighborhoods, we drove past people who've not only been deep in sin, trapped in sin, in the bondage of sin, more than 2 months, more than 2 years, more than 20 years. And all they're waiting for is somebody to tell them that they are free. That's all. God didn't have to organize a Southside Seventh-day Adventist church. There was already central here. There were members who began with this church who were attending the Central Seventh Adventist Church. There were some who said, we don't need another church. Just bring them to this church. But there's a reason why God started this church. And somehow I believe we have detoured. Yeah. Amen. Amen? We need to get back on course. Because you can't tell me that if we're following the blueprint that God has laid for us as a church, that all we have to show for it is about 300 people who attend now and then and only have an average of 175 who attend. You're trying to say after 76 years of following God's blueprint on running a church, this is all we got to show for it? What's going to happen in the next 6 years? Are people who 6 years from now going to look back on this generation and say what we did or did not do? Are we following the divine blueprint? And one of the things I realize that as a church, every time I've seen that where God somehow is about to do something, I've seen probably about three times that this church, the Southside Church, has had a spiritual awakening in my tenure here. Three times I've seen God move in a major way to do something powerful, powerful for this church. The first time was back in 2003. On the revival we had when we were studying and praying and about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that? We've had about two others since then. But every single time, catch this, saints, every single time that God has sought to do something major, big in our church, there's always a power and a force that seeks to divide us. I look at our time now as another one of those times where God is seeking to give us a major spiritual awakening right now. But you know also what I see? And I've got to say it, saints, because I am your spiritual leader. I'm not going to be like Aaron and says, Lord, I can't talk to the people. Oh, no, Moses rather. I'm not going to be like Moses. I can't talk to them. I can't face them. No, God has anointed me, has ordained me. He has chosen me. I am your designated leader right now, your spiritual leader. I'm the shepherd of this flock. And one thing I've seen, and I did not plan all of this. I did not plan. As a matter of fact, when I talked about and was planning about doing a series on the church, I actually wanted to do a series on the family. From June, July, I was talking and with other pastors. I was even talking to my brother who's a pastor, and I was planning a series on the family because our families need support. Single people need support. Single people need to be taught how to live single and pure. Single parents need to be taught and supported on how to parent being single. And married folk need to learn how to get on together. Now I was planning the series. And then God led me to the series. No, you need to go back and find out why we exist. I had no idea that this church was planning a celebration of 150 years of using the name Seventh-day Adventist. God is doing a major thing for this church. I did not plan it. But I see a major force, like I've done in the other three times, that exists to divide us. And some of you know it. Some of you see it. And some of you, God allowed us to see it. You don't say a thing. I have to find out about it the back way. But whatever it is, sometimes you need those forces to keep you focused. You just pray for people and keep on going. Don't let anybody, saints, turn you around. There's one thing I learned. That as a church, we've got to stay and stick together. You have individuals in the church who feel that they know how to run the church, but yet they can't even run the ministry that the church gives them to run. I'm not getting at anybody. All I'm saying is that but they cause trouble. They cause division. And there are people here right now who are, God is stirring them. I've heard testimonies of individuals throughout the week and previous weeks of how God is doing a new thing in their lives. It takes a body to sometimes save one person. And when they mess with the body, they mess with the salvation of people. Could you imagine if there were forces against the Chile government? Internal forces dividing them. Those miners will still be there under the earth. And there are people right now who can be in this congregation. People who God has brought to this congregation. When I came to this church, the membership was in the 300s. Now the membership is in the 600s. But people have come and gone. But I pray that the people here right now, that we will safeguard each other, that we will band together, and we will not allow any negative force or power to come in and to separate what God has binded together. We are a body, just like your human body. Do you take your arm off and give it to someplace and let somebody work on your arm? Separate from the body? What happens when you have a charcoal? Any of you have a barbecue and you have a little charcoal? You take one of those charcoal and you that's lit, and you take it and put it separate away from the group on the bunch of charcoal. What happens to that charcoal? It goes out while the others stay lit. Instead of criticizing the leaders of this church, what they're doing and what they're not doing, we need to lift them up in prayer. I don't become better as a pastor just because of hard work. I become better as a pastor because somebody gets on their knees and prays for me. And the same is true for elders and deacons and deaconesses. You know what? Criticism is the substitute for intercessory prayer. As a matter of fact, it's the devil's substitute. I want to close right now because I promise so many people I'm not going to go long today. But saints, do you see where God is leading us? Do you see that God does not want us just to keep on spinning our wheels, acting just like we're just another organization, religious organization, who take in membership? You know, just taking membership and just taking membership. No, we have a divine mission. We are rescue workers. Amen. And in your hand, you have this little article here. It gives us a summary of what we did last week at 6 o'clock. Amen. We did this last week at 6 o'clock. It gives you what we spent time in prayer. We prayed for these 30 plus things listed here. Amen. And then we went and said, okay, what is it we need to start doing as a church? And on the second page there, you see the things there. We listed over 30 things that we believe that we need to add to or sometimes replace what we're doing as a church. You see that right here. And we listed it, and we've grouped things into groups there for you. All right. And we said, what is the next step? The next step is that we need to keep on meeting. Come on, church. Amen. And I thank God for about 40 people that met on last week. Amen. And I know we can have those 40 people, but in addition to that, we can have more people come. Amen. I don't think you have something more important than what God wants to do with this church when we roll up our sleeves and seek to organize ourselves to become an effective lighthouse rescue station for the kingdom of God. Amen. It takes time, it takes sacrifice, it takes pleading and asking together in the name of Jesus Christ. It takes us working things out. Amen? And that's why we're calling us back together again. We need to meet and work these things out. It doesn't just happen automatically. We got to sit together. We got to pray together. The Spirit has got to move upon us while we are together. Amen. And listen, please, saints, I'm going to say this, I'm going to sit down. Once we get organized, once we put things together, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get folk who were not a part of the planning, folk who are not a part of the praying, folk who are not part of the working out things together over several weeks. It's not that we just had one meeting and they just missed it. This is several meetings that they have a chance and invited to come, and they don't come. And then while we're operating, moving forward as a church, operating and getting used to operating, being a lighthouse and rescue workers for the kingdom of God, they're going to come in, oppose it, question it, raise all kind of havoc. But if we, the people of God, stick together, stand together and say, we're continuing our praying. We are continuing our planning. And if you want to be a part of us, you can come. Because it just gets tiring to see where just like, you know, my brother right here, Joe, he's a surfer. And whenever there are big waves anywhere and he has the time, he can get the time, he goes, take his surfboard to go and ride those waves. Joe cannot create waves. He can't create big waves to surf on. That's all done by nature. In the same way, we as a church, we cannot create spiritual waves. You got that? So whenever God sends a wave, we've got to ride it. Because we don't know what's coming after the wave. Amen? And we want to be landed in a place where the wave is done, that we're in a place where God wants us to be. Is that all right, sir? Change, church. And I know every single week in this whole process, I've got to be dedicated. I've got to be consecrated, reconsecrated, rededicated to this whole process. But I don't want to miss what God is doing for this church. Are you with me? I'm not going to be intemperate and kill myself. I don't want you to come and visit me in anybody's nursing home. So I am going to be temperate. But I tell you, it's been a busy, busy week. I've even had my hair grow even longer than normal. I've been looking at it and says, wow, maybe this thing will get covered after a while, you know. But I tell you, saints, I tell you, saints, I tell you, I tell you, tell it. Even if it means, Brother Anthony, even if it means, you know, you and I probably go to about the same barber, don't we? Yeah. Even if it means me growing a mini afro. Modified mini afro. Amen. I'm going to do it for the cause of God. Are you with me, saints? So if you want to rededicate yourself to God, you want to reconsecrate yourself, you realize, God, I don't have what it takes to ride the spiritual wave that you're leading us on. My natural tendency is just to stay in my little comfort zone, do what I've been doing for the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. But God, I need to be moving with the Spirit so that this church can do more in being a lighthouse and a rescue station for the kingdom of God. And if you want to join me down here at the altar in reconsecrating yourself, allowing the Holy Ghost and says, Lord, just use me. Your Lord, just fill me. Lord, just help me. Lord, just keep my focus. Whatever you got to take away, Lord, take it away. Whatever you got to add, add it. Father, but I just want to be so sold out for you. Anybody here like that? Anybody? Just join me up front, would you please? All to Jesus I surrender. If you just sing that song for us, Pastor Kim. All to him I freely give. If you just want to join me, you don't have to be a part of this church to be a part of this process. You don't have to be. But we got to do it together. Amen? We got to do it together. Can't do it any other way. We've gone through too much. Too much stuff has happened. We go through so much, just like Elder Smith this week, where stuff happens. Some of you have had similar challenges with your health, like Elder Smith. You've gone through so much. You say, you know what? I'm just tired of being tired of missing what God wants to do through my church. Hallelujah. Sometimes as you come, just press together. And if you're next to somebody, just hold somebody's hand. Sometimes we need to, even while we're in this process, while God is literally processing us and purging us, we need to make up our minds, you know what? I'm not going to go to anybody's church until God gets it right with my church. I'm not going to go and celebrate anybody's program until God gets a program that he's satisfied with at my church. Amen. By the grace of God. Father, oh my God, Father, you've called us at such a time as this. In the midst of a repression that they say is over, but we're still experiencing. Just last month, 100,000 homes were repossessed. And we're supposed to be out of the repression. In the midst of political upheaval, in the midst, Father God, of violence that is increasing more and more and more, more people becoming homeless, more people at the threat of losing homes and being evicted even from a rented home, more people, Father God, don't know what tomorrow holds. in the midst, Father God, of just so much going on, too much for us to handle. Yet you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You've chosen us. You've made us royalty. You've made us special. You've made us holy. Hallelujah. For the one cause, to be spiritual rescue workers. And so, Father, we come consecrating ourselves, reconsecrating ourselves, asking that you will just fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we will have and do a ministry, only a ministry, that's involved in rescuing people, having the compassion that Jesus had. Oh, God, I join hands, Lord, with my fellow believers. As we all join hands together, say, Lord, 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 you will do it. It is your church. You've placed Jesus as the head. He's the brains. He's the one that activates the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the nose. He's the one that is able to activate the arms and the legs. He's the one that gives life and energy to all the organs in this body of Christ, the spiritual organs. And so we know, God, that you will not fail at doing this. But Father God, you want to know, are we a sheep or are we a goat? Sheep needs a shepherd. Goats don't need a shepherd. So teach us to humble ourselves and pray. Seek your face. Turn from our wicked ways so that, Lord, you can forgive our sins. You can hear our prayers. And you can heal our land. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Let everybody say together. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.